We're going to spend some time in God's Word on the subject of pleasing God. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 3. Pleasing God. For those of us who have a love for God, it's very fitting for us to want to do those things that please Him. It's just a natural course of events. He takes such great care of us. He loves us. He does so many wonderful things for us. He's done so many things for us. And the natural reaction, and it does talk about it in Romans, that our reasonable service is to walk for Him and to love Him. And so part of that is pleasing Him. Susan's cousin is up for the week. Some of you got to see him before he left a little while ago. David. And wonderful man. But he's recovering from throat cancer. So he's still trying to get all his energy back and this and that. And cancer's gone, but his body's still going to be restored. So he's up for the week visiting. And so he's down in the basement in the bedroom down there, which is the coldest room in the house. To some, they love that. And to some, that's not such a great thing. So I, not knowing him that well, he lives in Florida. I figure he either hates air conditioning or loves it. Said, do you know, where you're sleeping is the coldest spot in the whole house, and I can keep the temperature up here warmer so that it's not so cold down there, or I can make it cold up here and it'll be freezing downstairs, and I don't know what you like. And he goes, well, my wife loves it at 71 degrees, and I shiver all the time. I said, okay, I know what you don't want. Because when your body's a little frail, being cold is not a blessing. So, but I didn't know. So I saw it, and we do that, if we're having somebody over for dinner and we don't know them that well, you kind of try to find out what they like or don't like, or gifts, So same thing with God. We want to please Him. How do we know what to do to please Him? Well, Jesus Christ was pretty good at that. Chapter 3 of Matthew. This is God referring to Jesus Christ when he was getting the Spirit of God upon him. And a voice came down from heaven. It says in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God was well pleased with Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ was doing God's will. He did that which God wanted him to do. Let's go to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. He was pleasing to God because he did that which was pleasing to God. We don't want to guess what it is that blesses people if we want to do something for them, like a birthday gift or whatever. You sort of want to know what they like or dislike. And if you don't like the person, you give them something they don't like. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own will, my own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And we know when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying about, the cup, and he said, not my will be done, but thine. He wanted to do that which pleased God. He was not trying to seek his own will and bless himself, but he wanted to bless and please God. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. So he's the best example of it. He did it perfectly. how did he do it? Watching these baseball guys, there was a lot of home runs last night. So what if there was a baseball player that every time he went up the bat, he got a home run? Every time. Do you think somebody eventually would say, hey, what is it that you do to get it over the fence every single time? You would think, all right, maybe we ought to ask. Well, Jesus Christ always pleased the Father. So what did he do to be able to do that? Well, it started when he was a little fella, and in Luke, did I say 2?
Yep.
Okay, verse 45, this is when he had gone back to the temple after they left Jerusalem, and he wanted to learn more of the scriptures, and he went to the source where there were people learned in the scriptures. Verse 45, and when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And this was the big OS from Joseph and Mary when they realized Jesus isn't here. He's 12 years old and we already screwed up. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. You know, he was listening to what they were sharing about the scriptures. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So he was endeavoring to learn how to walk for and with God, how to bless him, how to please him, and how to do that, find out what he is that he was supposed to do and how to do it. And so he was learning the scriptures. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know, that's what he did. He went to God's word to find out what it is that blesses God. He didn't just turn the air conditioning up real cold because he assumed that he liked it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. You ever get a gift from somebody and their intentions are so well and it's so far off of what you'd be interested in getting? I mean, what did they say? You know, it's just like, okay, thank you very much. You know, the intentions are great, but may not hit the spot. I remember somebody, I don't know how they ever did it, they thought I liked a certain type of food. And I do like a lot of different foods, but whatever it is that they kept bringing, I really didn't care for it. I mean, I could eat it, but it wasn't like I'd really, and they just were trying to bless me. I eventually had to say, because they kept doing it, you know, and I had to, you know, it was hard for me to do, to say, well, there are other things I like too. I forget how I couched it, but I wanted to bless, you know, I didn't want them to be hurt. They were trying their best to be a blessing. Matthew chapter 15. So this is the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus coming to Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of God. Not the commandments of men. So these were people trained in the scripture, or at least taught in the scripture, but still had it wrong, because they worked it wrong. They didn't get the right sense of the scriptures of the law. So just because somebody may be religious or they go to church doesn't mean they automatically know how to please God or what God would like or not like. It's only God's word that allows that to, you know, that gives that information. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And this is very easy. If you don't want to please God, then you you're off the hook, you know? You don't have to learn any of this stuff. But that would be a horrible way of living. Colossians chapter 1. I was telling Susan this morning when we got up, I said, I just so enjoy living with you. You know, it's just so nice. It's sweet. It's just enjoyable. And, you know, we just want to be with God. But not everybody wants that. It's hard to believe. Chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that, for reason being, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's how we do that. That's how we learn how to please God, is by way of His word. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And we're going to pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 30. It says, If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Well, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh, or very close unto thee, in your mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So it's not that the Word of God is so far away from people that they can't find out what blesses God or what God wants for our lives or what He wants us to do. It's very close. It's right here. Yeah, it's right there. It comes out of our lips. Let's go to Psalm 103. As we know, God's word explains about Him all over the place. All over the place. It's just loaded with information concerning God. And this is... This is Psalm 103. It's just a sweet psalm, just showing the wonderfulness of God. We're just going to read a few of the verses. Verse 1, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That was His desire, to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. These are characteristics of God, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Sounds pretty good so far. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear or have a love for Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And, you know, just, he's very kind, very merciful. There's so many characteristics of God just in those few verses. It's just wonderful. So let's look at a few things specifically of what God likes and dislikes. Like, we all have our likes and dislikes on things, and God in the same ballpark. There are certain things he hates, and there are certain things he loves. And by going to God's word, like Moses told the children of Israel, you don't have to look very far to know what you know, to walk with God. It's right there in front of you. It's in the commandments. For them, it was the Old Testament law. For us, it's the New Covenant, the things of God's word in the New Testament. But still, it's God's word. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. We've all read this different times, I'm sure, through the years. Proverbs chapter 16. Oh, sorry. It's I didn't write that chapter. I wrote the verse. It's verse 16. I'll let you guess what chapter. I'm looking at that. It's like, that's not looking right. Okay, so it's Proverbs chapter 6. And then we got verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. And I looked up the word hate just to see if it was the word for hate. And it is the word for hate. You know, he just really doesn't like it. So if you want to know what doesn't bless God, what he doesn't like, we would read these. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. An abomination, that you could also understand it as disgusting, gross, and just repulsive. It's just putrid. And these seven things are what really does not turn God on. Verse 17, a proud look. And proud is referring to being lofty and high. Some, it's like in the, could be in the essence of being conceited. You just overly think about how great and wonderful you are above other people. Ever be around somebody like that? A lot of fun to be around people like that. You just think they're the best. Now, we are God's best, but we're not to tell everybody about it in that sense. A proud look. A lying tongue. A lying tongue is not something like your tongue is on the carpet and it's laying down sleeping. You know, it's not that kind of lying tongue. It's a tongue that does not tell the truth. So he doesn't like people who are lying. He doesn't like the lie. And hands that shed innocent blood. So it's people, a figure of speech and stuff like that. But people who hurt and ruin other people's lives, he's just not into that. So if you really want to bless somebody, don't ruin the person that you're around. You know? God doesn't get tickled about that. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. He's not thrilled about people figuring out how to hurt other people and do evil things. It doesn't bless them. So if we want to please God, we say, all right, I'm not going to think how I'm going to destroy this person or ruin their reputation or spread rumors about them. I'm not going to do that. Just not. I'll let somebody else do it. No, only kidding. the middle of verse 18, feet that be swift and running to mischief. They're always in a hurry to hurt people and do wrong things. A false witness that speaketh lies. I don't know if you've ever been involved with a court case and you know the person is lying about what they're saying. And it's irritating. And just irritating. Or, they're saying something you know is a lie. And God doesn't like it. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, people who stir up brothers against brothers, or sisters against sisters, or, mess with God's family to try to pit them against each other. He hates it. Putrid to him. Let's go, while we're in a neighborhood, chapter 11 of Proverbs. And, we are all spent a lot of time in the God's Word through the years. Very easy to find out what he hates or dislikes and what he does like. Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And this is referring to measurements. There's sections in the Mosaic Law that God talks about. They used to use, there's scales up there on the thing. It's got grapes on one side and something else on the other. Maybe more grapes. But, you know, scales are used to measure things. You know, people still use scales at the grocery store for meat and fishes and cheeses. Not like that. But, so what they would do is, they'd have a stone, and let's say it's supposed to be a pound. Well, they'd have a trick stone that would be lighter. So they're saying, here's my 1 pound stone, and you're buying X amount of weight of whatever. And it was false, and it was deceitful. Like the old trick, I remember being told when I was younger, if I had to buy something, watch for the guy's finger when he's weighing something. They slide their finger right on the edge, push down a scale to make it look heavier, and then there comes the number in front of you. You know, don't let them like hold the package. You know, because people do that. It's a false measurement of whatever. God says that false measurement or a false stone, a false balance, you're saying it weighs 3.5 pounds, it's really 2.5 or whatever, is hateful. God, it's disgusting to God. But a just weight is his delight. And so if you want to know how to bless God, you would be honest with all your dealings with measurements or monies or exchanges, because that's what delights him. You know, you don't try to trick people out of money or whatever they're supposed to be getting. Have you ever had to guard yourself from being ripped off, you know, and buying something? Or it's this clothing, or, you know, there are scams out there all the time. And God doesn't like it when people do that. He just doesn't. The New King James Version has it translated, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Just how he is. 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know, God does very clearly present what he likes and dislikes. 1 Samuel 15. Chapter 15, verse 20. This is Samuel reproving Saul, King Saul at the time. And Samuel had given Saul very specific things to do and not to by way of revelation, and he didn't carry them out. And verse 20, we pick it up. It says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag. He lied through his teeth with all this. Brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amorites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying of the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. You know, he lost his rulership from that stupidity, from God's point of view. But God wasn't interested in the animals as much as the obeying. So maybe Saul was trying to please God, or maybe he was being controlled by a lot of people. But one thing we know, he didn't please God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at a few things that do please God. And if we know what they are and we choose to do them, well, it's a good combination. chapter 9, verse 6. I don't think this can get any clearer, more clear. Verse 6. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He likes somebody that's giving because they are blessed to give. Not to give to God because I got to give. Or I know so much of God's word, I know if I don't give, then I'm going to... I'm like stuck between a rock and a hard spot. I really don't want to, but I know if I don't. Now, God loves a cheerful giver. So we would, if we have issues in that area of life, of giving and other things, we'll work with our own hearts and lives. God will help us. John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. God loves a cheerful giver. And if we want to be pleasing unto God, we endeavor to live accordingly. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, that when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God's seeking people to worship him according to spirit and truth. He's looking for those people. Apparently it delights him because he's looking for them. Like, if you're hungry and you go through the cupboard, you don't look for the things you really don't like to eat. I've got to get that thing I hate to taste. Now you look for things you like to eat. Because God's seeking those to worship him like that. Jeremiah, we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. We looked at this scripture a couple weeks ago. Chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what he's really interested in. And so if we want to be pleasing unto him, delight God, we would walk in that manner. And 3 John 4, there's no chapter in that one, so. Didn't miss it on my note. 3 John 4, I remember when I was first getting involved with God's Word and starting to learn these things, I was like, wow, this stuff is very specific. How come people are like guessing whether they're doing what God wants them to do. It's very specific. Verse 4, 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So if we want to please God, one of the things we would do would be to be truthful. Our lives mimic that which is truthful. And lastly, we're going to Psalm 40. And this is just a wonderful psalm, something that we all, in our own hearts and lives, would want our heart to be like. And my prayer for a lot of the young people in our country and around the world is a prayer, is like this psalm. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O God. You know, that we have a heart, or develop our heart to where we delight in doing
God's word, to do his will, and that the law is within our heart. And, you know, we need that in our young people around the world, because, you know, believe it or not, the old people get older. Some of us are in that spot in this room where we're all getting a little older. And at one time, we were the young people. And something happened, I don't know, it was a few blinks. And all of a sudden, somebody said, hey, you're not young anymore. We're the old people, so to speak. There's a younger generation, and if they don't believe God's word and they don't have a love for God, it's going to be a rough world. You know, our heart's desire, and we continue to endeavor to do it more and more, is this Psalm 40. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And there's a guy I hired recently to take Rube's spot temporarily. And he said, you know, I used to party all the time and, you know, wild and this and that in my 20s and 30s. He goes, what did you do when you were in your 20s? I said, honestly, all I want to do is help people learn God's word. He was like looking at me like, what the hell? I said, parties didn't really throw me. I really wanted to just help people learn God's word and grow in it myself. And he goes, oh, okay. So, but that the youth of our nation and around the world, that they have a desire for God, you know, just, it's a great thing. So we want to be pleasing unto God, but our first tour in doing so is to find out, okay, what is he like? What does he not like? So it's a great thing. It's very simple, and God hasn't made it hard, especially if you read some of the scriptures. It's very easy to find out what it is. So it's wonderful stuff.